series and for the announcements. So we're looking at Colossians chapter 3. We looked at up to verse number 9 last week. We're looking at verse number 10 and 11. Now, you often hear things about this. Well, don't put on. You know, that's usually as a negative thing. Well, you're just putting on airs, or you're putting on. You're acting like you're something you're not. You're just making yourself out to be something that's not true. You're putting on. And usually, that's a bad thing. I've heard of different times in my life, we're just putting on airs. You're just acting like something you're not. Well, the scripture here tells you that there's some things that you ought to put on. Verse number 10. So we talked about that, putting off the old man in those verses leading up to this, 5 down to 9. But now we're looking at verse number 10, and have put on, verse number 9, have put off the old man, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And so we want you to look into this tonight and trust it's a blessing as we put on the new man. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us your presence here in this moment, we ask, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could turn, hold your place there, but look back in Romans chapter 13, and you'll find that in many ways some correlations between all of these, but in Romans chapter 13, it gives similar to this same principle, verse number 14, and it tells us to do this, Romans 13, 14, the last verse of that chapter, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now, one thing about the flesh, you say, what's the flesh? Well, the flesh is all the stuff that you think of it. And usually we think of the sensual and the physical flesh that, wow, it's just doing something wicked. And there's plenty of that going around in our culture today, of course. But it's more than just the first things that we think about in the flesh, meaning that inappropriate behavior and lewd dress and acts and all that. That is all flesh. But there's more to it than that. It could be, you could be dressed right and, so to speak, on the outside acting right or looking right, but still be driven by the appetites of the flesh. It's not always just the sensual. But the scripture here says in verse 14 of Romans 13, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Do you remember that? I don't guess they still use it, but it used to be Motel 6. I think it was Super 8, but I believe Motel 6 said, we'll leave the light on for you. You know what they were doing? They were making provision for you to stop by. Now, that was just their slogan. But Dad used to say, or Dad does say, that they used to, in old homes around his place, they would leave the latch string out. And what that would mean is those old doors or those old little houses didn't have door locks like you would now that you locked a slage or a quick set door lock. Instead, on the inside, there was just a little lever that fell down in behind another little piece of wood, and that kept it. So you could, in the inside, you could just lift that out, lift it up rather to open the door. But when you were going to be on the outside, you couldn't reach the inside lever, so there was a hole drilled at the top of that, and you put a little string out, so you'd pull that string, and that would pull that lever up like you would on a chicken coop or something like that, but it used to be on houses as well. And so he said that around there, they said, we leave the latch string out, meaning usually when you went to bed for night, you pull the latch string in so that as safe as it could be, I suppose, but if somebody was coming, you leave the latch string out. Well, Scripture here says, make not provision for the flesh. Can I just tell you, a lot of Christians now, we all are leaving the latch string out. We're giving provision for the flesh. We say, I'm going to stop that, but I'm going to get back to it quick as I can. I'm going to stop that, but we don't annihilate it. We don't push it away. We kind of make provision for the flesh. And then when you do make provision for the flesh, then you often fulfill the lusts thereof. So look back in Colossians as we get onto this part. Now, it was just a parallel passage there that we want to bring you to. So I want you to see, first of all, there's this need for putting on in verse number 10. Why do we need this? Well, there's a couple different reasons. We need it because we're so fleshly and we're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, like the hymn writer said. But we're also in need of it because this wicked world that we live in, the time of where the Colossians were reading this was not much different than ours as far as that. It comes and goes through different generations, but it was a very wicked time. It was a time when people could easily go the way of the world or the way of their flesh. And so the scripture says it's needful because of our old flesh, and that's also needful because of the wicked society in which we live. You say, well, if we didn't live in such a wicked society, then I wouldn't need all of this extra work. Well, we'd have to go back and tell that to Adam and Eve, because they didn't have a wicked society. They just had themselves. And so it's not only the wicked society. You say, oh my, it's bad now. I feel bad for your kids or bad for my grandkids or bad for whoever. I do too. But can I remind you, the same thing they need is the same thing that Adam and Eve neglected to do, and that was stay close to the Lord. And so here we see that we're supposed to put on the new man, our lives and our minds, because look at it back in verse number 10, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him. We see that our lives and our minds should be renewed. Our lives and our minds are supposed to be renewed, meaning that they're supposed to be made new again. It's supposed to be something that is different than it was before. And so the Bible gives this imagery, put on, like you're taking a coat and putting it on. It's not a putting on as in a hypocritical thing, but it's keeping yourself. The Apostle Paul says, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection, because he said those things that I don't want to do, I know I shouldn't do, I find myself doing them. And those things that I know that I ought to do, I don't go through the day wanting to do those too often. Somebody that has for dinner has ice cream with sprinkles and syrup and cookie crumbles all over there, that's probably not the healthy choice for what he should have eaten that night. And it's almost as what the scripture says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. It says this. That's that passage where it says, to submit yourselves to, well, it doesn't say like, verse number 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says that in verse number 1 says he told you to submit your bodies or give your bodies a living sacrifice. But then in verse number 2 that I alluded to, he says, and by the way, be not conformed to this world, but just like it said back in verse number 14 of Romans 13, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. It's almost like we're at this intersection. Which you want to do? You want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, or you want to make provision for the flesh? Do you want to be conformed to the world, or do you want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Or in the verse that we're in today, you want to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Christ, and where there's neither Jew nor Greek and all those things, or do you just want to go the way that comes of least resistance? Do you know, just like in your job, just like in your family, just like at your house, if you take the path of least resistance, whatever, like they say, well, if it will, it will. If it just comes, it comes. You know, that's a dangerous path for us to start down, because most good things in your marriage, in your family, they take work. Amen. If it's worth having. And so the scripture says that we're supposed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh. And so we see their lives and our minds are supposed to be renewed. Not only that, but we see here in verse number 10, the way that they're supposed to be, the way that we're supposed to put on this new man, it's our lives are supposed to be patterned after Christ. So this new man that I'm supposed to be putting on, it's always after the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here in verse number 10, and that which is renewed in knowledge. That knowledge, that word means full discernment or acknowledgement. So when you read it in that way, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge or renewed in acknowledgement or in full discernment. Full discernment of what? Full discernment after the image of him that created him. Meaning that as you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you've got that renewal of the mind in chapter Romans 12, 2, then it's all after the full discernment, full disclosure, full acknowledgement of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, it sounds a lot like all the other messages you preach that you're just supposed to live close to Jesus. And that's exactly right. Do you understand how much it would settle our problems down if we would just live in full discernment and full acknowledgement of Him? And so we've got this need for putting on the new man. You say, now, does that mean putting on the Spirit of God? Well, if you're, since you're saved, you've already got that. We'll get to it in just a little bit. You've already got the Spirit of God in you, so you're not asking Him to come into you again and again, but you are asking, so Lord, clothe me and help me. If you want to look at it that way, as you'd put on an overcoat, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because, Lord, I'm getting ready to go through a wicked world, and I need to walk in Your steps, as we've been preaching through on Sunday some. So I see the need for putting on, but I see also in verse number 11, not only the need for putting on, but there's also this need to say there's neither Greek nor Jew. Neither Greek nor Jew, as it says in verse number 11, where there is neither that. And so we understand that there's neither one of those. We see that there's neither circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, free. And we see that this grace that we're supposed to be walking in, this putting on the new man, it removes all cultural barriers. That's the blanks there if you're following through. Because what it does is we see that this idea that we're better than somebody else because we grew up on the right side of the tracks religiously. That's what the Jews would have thought. Well, yeah, well, I'm not like those Greeks over there. That'd be like us saying, well, I'm not like those people who don't go to church. You know who it matters to whether or not you go to church? The other people go to church. It really doesn't matter much out there, and it really doesn't matter much up there. Because we could see a person that was a faithful member of, name the church. But if they had never made a decision for Jesus Christ, had never received Him as their Savior, then they would have just missed heaven, gone to hell as a religious church member. Neither bond nor free, Greek or Jew, didn't matter. So putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, it removes all of that cultural barrier because it drives us back to this thing, do I have a relationship with Christ? So why is it so important for me to put on Jesus Christ as my as I walk for Him? Because it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what your bank account looks like. It doesn't matter if any of these things. Christ is always the same. If you came in here and you've come from a privileged background and wonderful, you came from a good family, I would want you to, but you came from a little bit of sufficiency, and you sit on the pew with somebody else who did not grow up in church, and their parents were not believers in Christ, and their parents did not give them all those spiritual advantages that you had and that I had. They come to Christ the same way, of course, but then even after you come to Christ, and now He's telling us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is written to people who are saved. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That spiritual pedigree does you no good. That person grew up in church, made a decision for Christ when they were 5, 6, or 7 years old. They need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in His Spirit, just like the one that lived a wicked life and got saved at 41. You don't get any extra credit because you had a badge full of, they used to do those Sunday school pins that you'd got them every year for perfect attendance. So we see that the grace of God, it removes all that cultural barriers, but not only that, but it also removes all the superiority. We see that because the Greek or the Jew, the barbarian or the Scythian, I checked out some of those things that when they used that word Scythian, it was basically a generalized term for rude and ignorant people. I don't know where you grew up, but we've all got another county over, not the county we lived in, but another county over or so with all the rednecks and the ruffians and the people that stole stuff. They all lived over there, right? Jeff Roten, what county is that they live in? He doesn't want to say. Is that the county you grew up in, wasn't it, Jeff? No? Huh? That's the other one. Okay. Well, wrong deacon, I think. So, but all of us have a spot. Oh, yeah, well, you better be careful about those folks over there. My dad was born in Leon, West Virginia, which is the little nothing bit of nothing. Now he's moved to the big city of Evans, and I think there's 250 people there. Leon's smaller than that one. So, but all of us have these little towns. Oh, yeah, be careful about those guys. Well, that Scythian, that was a generalized term for people. They were some of these nomadic tribes that were mostly up in this one particular region. And so the readers of this passage, as they would have gotten it, or the, as Paul was used of God to write to, they would have understood that that was the offscouring. And that's why the old saying came about that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. It didn't matter whether you were that wrong side of the tracks, right side of the tracks, bad county, good county. He said that when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're renewed in knowledge, and that sweet spot that we can all get into, Greek or Jew, doesn't matter. Barbarian, Scythian, doesn't matter. Bond, that one that was a slave or free, doesn't matter. Paul, as was used of God, he had it made. He was from an uppity family. But many of the folks he was writing to, that doesn't matter. Because it goes on to say, but Christ is all in all. That would be like the old phrase, you get the props knocked out from underneath of you. Or somebody says, we're going to deflate his ego. We're going to knock him down a few notches or go on whatever saying you want to say. When we come to that sweet spot of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm saved, yes, but now I'm going to try to walk in him. Makes me quit looking down my long nose at somebody else who doesn't have what I have, doesn't have the pedigree, which none of us, I don't think, have too much of one, but you might have one compared to some people. So there's neither Greek nor Jew. But we see that last phrase in verse number 11, but Christ is all in all. And that brings us to my last point there, the completeness. There's a reason why we can put on the Lord Jesus Christ and put off the old man. You got to understand that this putting on and putting off is more than just turning over a new leaf. Because I would imagine many people in this room, you tried to turn over a new leaf. You kind of were feeling rotten about how you were living. You knew you should be doing better. And so you made New Year's resolutions, mid-year resolutions, or end of year, whatever. You just decided you was going to start doing better. Oftentimes, you started coming to church. But like Curtis Hudson used to say, coming into church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage would make you a car. You realize that coming to church, sitting in a building, wouldn't do anything for you. You realize trying to be a better person, a nicer person, may have been a little kinder to the people around you, but that didn't do you anything good either. So the reason we can put off the old man, the reason we even have the wherewithal and the spiritual help from heaven to put off the old man is because of our relationship in Christ. It all starts with him. It's not just that, if you follow with me for just a moment, it's not just that living a good life won't get you to heaven, and it won't. But you also are not going to be able to live too good of life without a relationship with Christ. Even in this world, you say, oh no, I know some pretty good folks that aren't saved and they live morally, and that's I don't disagree. I know them as well. But they don't have that spiritual fire down in them that could burn into a wonderful display to the world. All they've got is this house, and it maybe is a galvanized structure. They're really they have a lot of character. They have a lot of determination, and they're going to make themselves a good husband, a good wife, make themselves a good family man, and they do that out of duty. But that's still only going to be a shell. They can't put on this new man. They can't have that help from the heavenly side because they don't have that the presence of the Holy Spirit on the inside. So, my friend, it is all about a relationship with Christ. So our relationship with Christ is what enables us to put off the old man, put on the new man. The danger we're going to get to in the last point is this. The danger, now that you have that relationship with Christ, and it does allow you to put off some old things, put on the new man, and now you start realizing that some great victories have been won by the Lord through you and in your life. Well, then you start looking around everybody else that isn't making these same decisions that you are. And you say, well, that was the best thing I ever did when I started doing that or when I stopped doing that. And then we start, crazy how we do it, but we start criticizing some other brother or sister in Christ because they're not making the exact same decision that we did. And that's when we have to remind ourselves that Christ is sufficient whereas my rules and my rituals are not. So he says, don't despair if you're a Greek, but don't be proud if you're a Jew. And today that would be, don't despair if you don't have any kind of church background. Oftentimes when I talk to people about the Lord, I usually start with that. Well, what's your church background? I invite them to church. What's your church background? Not that I'm so interested in that, because that really doesn't get them anywhere, but it just gets them on the subject, and then you can bring them back to Christ. Well, don't be discouraged if you have no church background, but don't think you're holier than thou just because you start off in the nursery and you're now here as an adult. So don't despair if you're in bonds. Truly, in that regard, if you are a servant or a slave, but we bring it now to current culture, don't despair if you're at the entry-level position. If you're just glad to be making minimum wage, don't despair about that. That's wonderful. Do a good day's work for the pay. Don't despair about that. But also don't be proud and arrogant and boast about owning this company or being the top performer, the top salesman, the top manager, or whatever. You say, where's that all found in there? Well, I'm applying some things here. There's neither Greek nor Jew. That's the religious side. There's neither circumcision or uncircumcision. That's the outward arrival of what you've done physically or, you know, religiously. Barbarian, Scythian, bond, or free. That's your position in life, your socioeconomic level that you've risen to. It's not in there, but you could say that means if you're living in a little rundown one-bedroom apartment that is not that nice, but that's what you can afford, don't despair about that. If your house is topping $1.5 million, don't look down on the person that's over there. There's a lot of practical reasons for that, because it may flip-flop one of these days. If that guy's got some characters to go do something and you don't, you may be asking him for a job, but that's beside the point. The real reason not to look down on him is because God says not to. Amen. Christ is sufficient. And so this putting on a new man, this is not to maintain or achieve or even make your salvation better, as far as better in the ways it looks more acceptable to God. But what this is this renewal in your Christian walk and making this life, this Christian life, vibrant. And I believe as you put off the old man from verse number 9, put on the new man from verse number 10, then you'll find yourself in verse number 11 where you say, really, I don't see much difference in either one of us. Look to me like we're about both blessed because we're named by the name of the Lord. So putting off is not enough, and putting on is just a religious act exercise in which we can boast if we're not careful. And putting on is possible and expected to those that are risen with Christ. I'll take you back to verse number 1, which we looked at a few weeks ago. Because verse number 10 can't happen unless verse number 1 has happened in your life. If ye then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And then be doing verse number 10, put on the new man. Again, it could be said, since you're risen with Christ in verse number 1, if you're risen with Christ, since you're risen with Christ, seek those things, and then you could, we don't take out Scripture, of course, but you could just fast forward right to verse number 10. If you're risen with Christ, then put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. It's always after the image of Christ, of Him that created him, putting on the new man. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that we have a bunch of people, dear Lord, that would think of this when they get ready in the morning. And friends, if you would think about this for a minute, Lord, I pray that when we get ready in the morning, just like we're putting on our clothes because we want to be decent for the day, Lord, I pray we'd put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that we would be decent for the day to everybody we run into. Lord, there's God, I'm looking back at times in my life when I showed my flesh, not the Lord Jesus Christ, in certain situations. And I pray that we have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for it all. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies begin to play? If God has spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Are you putting on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you putting off the old man? If the answer is not yes, then I challenge you, my friend, to do some soul searching right there where you are and decide that I can put off the old man. I can put on the new man. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, I never like to close a service but what I don't ask. If you're not sure that you're saved, but you need to be, you know it, would you just not even mess around? Just slip on down to the front. Let me or someone take a Bible and show you how you can be sure Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. As they play another verse, whatever God's work on your heart, would you do it? You coming tonight?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't have yet. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, we have a great announcement to make tonight. And Brother Ryan Waddell, we've gotten to know him for a good many months here. We thank God for him. God brought him over this way via Knoxville, but he's saved, baptized, loves the Lord, and he is desirous to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we've got to meet with him and has been a blessing to us already. So we'd like to recommend to the church that we receive him into membership. We need a motion. Brother Marty Scroggs. All right, Brother James Martin seconds the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amen. Motion carries. Well, hopefully several of you get by and get to meet him before you leave. We'll get a picture of him, put in the church app, and so it's easier, a little easier to do that, and or a little easier to remember who he is. And we thank God for him and that God's brought him this way. And then, all jokes aside, Brother Dan, we certainly will be praying for him, and this is his last service with us. We got to watch a video, don't we, Jack? Okay, you can be seated. Sorry.